Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where we study the Hebrew roots of our faith, brought to you by Tree of Life Outlet in Lincoln City. Phone lines are open at 503-316-1220, or send your email to radio@t2tn.com.
And welcome back, everybody. We're so glad you're with us here on the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are listening to Hebrew Nation Radio. We're based in Salem, Oregon. We actually have live programs, Devorah, from 7 a.m. our time all the way till 11 o'clock, starting out with Shema a.m.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, well, that's because one of us has to get up now, and one of us gets to stay in bed till 8, so yeah.
Neener.
Well, that'll help you get to bed earlier at night, that's all.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Okay. Well, you burn it at both ends, and I guess it'll get skinny in the middle or something. So how about that?
Hey, that would be nice. Woo-hoo. All right. A little bit of stretching.
Of course, the morning show after that, then we have David Matthews with Man Alive, sponsored by China Faith Restaurant in Salem here. Woo-hoo.
Nice.
Number here is 503-316-1220. We like to hear from our mishpacha. That's our family all over the world. And I was looking at the statistics from the podcast yesterday, and it's amazing. There's like 50 different countries that tune in at one time or another.
Oh, you're looking at that little map?
Yeah.
Isn't that just neat?
It's like, wow, you guys, we have people listening in Saudi Arabia and
Indonesia
and a lot of Muslim countries. So. Mm-hmm. We want to bless you guys and thank you for being a part of the family on Yahweh's behalf, our Father's behalf. Our Abba is reaching out all over the world and gathering his people back together again. And so kind of no matter what stripe of believer you are, you're saved by the grace that was provided by the blood of Yeshua. And we keep the Torah. We've come back into the heritage that he provided for us. And you know, it says in Matthew 10 and in Matthew 15 that, and I've always say this, and I hope you guys get this down. It's his mission statement. He said, I came to seek the lost sheep of Israel. Mm-hmm. And that kind of excludes a lot of people who think they can co-opt him into their own religion. But he had a specific job as Messiah. And so, do we have somebody on the phone?
We do. Oh, we have one of our faithful mishpacha right here, right now.
Sweet.
It's Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
And let me get it turned up on here. There we go.
And all of the rest of you, Devorah and Eunice and Nehemiah and whoever else is there.
thank you for your encouraging email yesterday. That was nice.
Oh, you're so welcome. I didn't get it all said what I wanted to say, so I sent you a couple more. Okay. I wanted to challenge all of the listeners out there to call in and let you know that there are people actually out there listening and that there's a vital need that's being met by you being on the air and making all those awesome teachers available to us. And with that, I'm going to let you guys get back to your theme, whatever it was. I just had to get my 2 cents in there.
Well, we're glad
you
did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have an awesome teacher with us today. We haven't, we've had Rico Cortez or Hernan on. From now on, we'll listen. You know, if you hear Hernan come out, then you'll know, oh, that's Rico. How about that? Huh?
Yeah, Rico,
are you there?
That.
Did we ever get you there?
I'm listening. Can you speak?
Oh, there you are. There he is. We were talking about awesome teachers, and we've had Rico Cortez on, on the station here since we started pretty much making our Hebrew transition. He's been on weekends most of the time, and now he's on weekdays, like every day, 7 days a week. And Rico, we've got a little bit of thing to work out on your coming out towards the end of summer. But that one date that we chose doesn't work on our end, so we've got to go a week earlier, a week later or something. But we'll work on that.
Okay.
But you are coming out, and we've got him scheduled in concrete, sort of. So, as much as we can tie him down.
So we're talking, what, July-ish area?
I think it was August. I'll look at it before we get off the air, and we'll Skype
awesome.
It still.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, for those who didn't listen to the first hour, the Shema AM hour, Why don't you tell everybody where you're at, what you're doing a little bit, and just kind of catch folks up.
Well, I'm teaching Torah. I'm getting feedback over here.
Go ahead, Rico. We're not hearing it on this end. All we're hearing is you stop. Okay. Because you're hearing it. So.
Yeah, I'm on the blog. I have the Torah portion right now on the internet. That's keeping me really busy. Plus, I'm traveling a lot. So if you're interested, you can go to wisdomandtorah.com. And there I teach the Torah every week on video and audio. Plus a whole bunch of all the teachings that I do. And we're ministering to like 92 to 100 countries each week on the internet. And it's very, very exhausting, but it's exciting at the same token. People are enjoying the Torah portions and learning. And I'm also traveling too, teaching, so it's a challenge. But I'm having a good time.
Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome.
All right. One of the things that people can do is go to the website, wisdomintorah. Is that .com or .org?
.com.
It's wisdomintorah.com. And I encourage you to sign up there for like $5 or $10.
$5 a year.
Okay, yeah. This is a ridiculous price. I wouldn't do it for that much, but you know what? Well, you know, Rico, raise your prices.
Feel free to give more.
Exactly. Exactly right. Yeah, we were scheduled for August 12 and 13. We'll look at that a little later because I need to keep concentrating on what I'm doing here instead of reading Skype. Oh, that's one of the
busted
dangers,
mister,
of technology.
That's
yes.
Right.
All right. Well, I wanted to continue on a little bit. A lot of our New Testament brethren don't see the necessity of keeping Torah or moving into obedience, I guess, is what I would call it, because they think they're being obedient to if they are being good and demonstrating some fruits of the Spirit. So, Rico, why
they feel like
is it
betraying their everything they were raised with?
Yeah, I mean, no, my dad is followed the Bible all of his life, and he's a great Christian man. But at the same time, he thinks, well, yeah, but those old things, you know, that was for then. Now what? So, Rico, what would you say to New Testament believers who think that that the Old Testament is just done away with and they just have to do good things?
Well, the definition of righteousness is basically keeping the commandment. So many Christians do want to be righteous, but how can you be righteous if there's no commandment to guide you? How can you be a good American if you don't follow the laws of this country? A good American is somebody who abides by who loves the country, who will do anything for the country, who would keep the commandments of this country. What is a good believer? What is a good believer? Well, we're in the kingdom of Yahweh, and we keep the commandments of Yahweh, and we obey him because we love him. It's the same principle. Unfortunately, the system of religion doesn't read their own scriptures, and this is why I find it so offensive when Christians go trying to convert the Jews, because I believe that no Christian would have the right to go and convert the Jews, because if they don't read their own scriptures, there'll be a stumbling block for my Jewish brothers. Yeah. You know, you understand where I'm coming from?
Well, I do, but I don't think that most Christians understand why they are a stumbling block. They have no idea why Jews can't accept Christianity. Why can't they accept Messiah? What's the problem with that? Do you want to explain
it? And that's a great point. And I think this is why we're trying to bring clarity to these principles. I mean, see, let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. When a Christian talks to a Jewish brother, first of all, they're trying to convert him, which is right off the get-go is insulting. Because the word conversion, we have the terms backwards. Okay, conversion is somebody who doesn't belong to the covenant, who wants to become part of the covenant. They need to convert. They need to become somebody different. Repentance and conversion are two different things. A Jew needs to teshuvah, repent. An Israelite needs to teshuvah, repent. A Gentile needs to convert because they're not in covenant, because the word Gentile defines that. The word Gentile means pagan, somebody who's not in covenant with Yahweh. So when you come and you're not an Israelite or you're not a Jew and you want to serve the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you convert. But then somebody who's already been in covenant previously, or who walking away in disobedience, they turned around. That's what the word teshuvah means, turned around. They repent. How can you repent from something that you didn't know you did anything wrong with? That's my question. If a Gentile has never been in covenant with Yahweh in the Torah, and Yahweh has only chosen Israel as a people, that's very clear everywhere you read, then how can a Gentile repent when in fact they didn't know they did anything wrong? I mean, can a Chinese repent about doing something against America when he lives in China? Or a Chinese may repent when he's a U.S. citizen living in America and he transgressed a commandment of America. You follow?
Yeah, but...
So I think the terms are very significant and the lack of understanding thereof.
Rico, most New Testament believers would say, yeah, but I have the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua, and that's all I need to do because now I'm in the front door of the house, I guess. I have my fire insurance policy. I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to, you know, take care of my neighbors, you know, and take care of my family and so on. Why isn't that enough? Or is it?
Yeah, because you don't recognize. Okay, let me throw these terms out to you. And people don't realize that there are differences in the Bible, how you break them down. Okay, we have salvation, redemption, reconciliation, justification, and sanctification. Now, when you talk to my Christian brothers, they have no idea that there are differences in things like between the each one of them. Redemption is freely given to anyone who believes, whether you are Jew, Israelite, or a Gentile. We agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Redemption, because we accepted Yeshua, is freely given to those who want it. Reconciliation. How can you be reconciled to God when, in fact, you've never been in covenant with Yahweh? In other words, I can't be reconciled with your wife. I can't redeem your wife because I've never been in covenant with your wife. You are. You follow?
Right. Yeah. You've never been conciled, so-called, to begin exactly. with. So you can't be reconciled. Right. Okay.
Right. It doesn't mean that the Gentiles don't have access to the kingdom. That's not what I mean. And again, we are getting to the nitty-gritty, and I'm glad you're asking these questions because, you know, how can you be reconciled? How can you be redeemed? Well, by grace, Israel has been redeemed. Now we come to justification. And I believe this is where the Gentiles come into play. How can a Gentile be justified to be in my house when in fact Yahweh never made a covenant with the Gentiles before? You follow? Yeah. Gentile nation. Through Abraham. And that's what Paul is trying to convey in his letters. That if you are a Israelite or if you are a Gentile and you want to be follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then you come in covenant because of the faith that Abraham had, because Abraham was neither a Jew or an Israelite. You follow? He was a Hebrew. So, yes, there is a way that you can come in, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, into the faith. The only condition is that you follow the commandments. Like he told Isaac in Genesis 26 about Abraham. Listen to this. In Genesis 26, verse 5, Yahweh speaking to Isaac in regards to the covenant. And then he tells about Abraham. He says, because Abraham obeyed my voice, he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Abraham was a Gentile at one place, at one time, and he crossed over the river Jordan, and he became a Hebrew. He crossed over. But just because he was given the justification to come in the kingdom because Yahweh called him, did not abstain him from obeying the commandments to be in the blessing. You follow?
Absolutely. And Rico, we're going to have to take our first break here. Our breaks are at 21:39, so we'll do that and come right back, everybody, and finish up with where we're headed. This is really important, especially for our New Testament brethren. If you want to know why it's important to know who you are, because we have instruction manual for our family here, okay? We'll be right back with more of the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. Hey, Devorah.
What?
I was really, really excited to see so many people show up to help us around the radio station here.
Yeah.
But there's one thing missing.
What's that?
The people that aren't in the Salem area.
Oh, yeah.
They can still actively be a part of helping Hebrew Nation. If you go to t2tn.com, you can leave a donation of any size that the Ruach would put on your heart.
That's right.
And then that way, you would be like a volunteer here from over there.
Right.
Awesome.
I think you're onto something.
Rico.
Yeah, we'll end up singing.
Oh, Rico, we gotta sing. Ready? Here we go. Everybody together around the world.
I'll make a melody in my heart to you. Pouring out your praise with everything within.
Now you're gonna have to copy those words down because I can't remember words from songs anymore. Now that I'm out leading worship, it's just like they're not in my brain.
Because I could never lose them.
Really?
I don't forget anything.
My emphasis, has changed, you know, to more the teaching side of things, and so I guess I should pick my guitar up again and work on it. But
I think
so that
you
song,
too.
Rico,
that's a beautiful guitar.
That song, Rico, is what we do. That's like sing together around the world, all the family of y'all.
So, gotcha.
Oh, all right. So before the break, by the way, we have Rico Cortez with us. He's at home in Florida. And the number here, 503-316-1220. Don't be afraid to call in and break the flow. I know you want to hear his teaching and what he's got on his mind. But he'll promise you he'll be able to pick it back up. And when you get excellent Torah teachers on the radio, you need to call in while you got them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, guess what? You just have me. So
right. Yeah, by the way. Right. By the way, I'd like to make a disclaimer here. I'm trying to explain certain principles. I'm in no way saying that the Gentiles have no access or rights to the kingdom. I'm just trying to explain so that we're clear about biblical principles. And I pray that I don't come off in any way that is wrong, because I'm not trying to preach an elitist gospel. But the truth is that Yahweh has established his kingdom. So we're trying to establish that, and then we can all obey the same rules, and there's no problem.
Yeah, and we always have to clarify too, Rico, that when we were saying something about the New Testament church or whatever, that we're not saying that because we think they're bad or anything, or that it's not good enough. We're just saying there's so much more. And Yeshua, Jesus, who you know, the whole thing is centered around, is the beginning. He's not the end all, you know, and the gospel is more than just salvation. And as great as salvation is, you guys, don't be stuck. So we have a caller on the line, Devorah?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
we do.
Who do we have?
We have Alon.
Alon, how are you today?
Good, Don. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. Rico, I think I understand this, but I think a lot of Christians struggle with, in Acts, when at the Council of Jerusalem they talked about the requirement for Gentiles who had become Christians, and they were to, you know, not eat things that had been given to idols, and a couple other, you know, minor things there. And then Christians say, well, that's pretty much all we need to do. Do you think that's a possibility, and how would you answer Christians in that light?
Hey, Alon, you missed the 7 o'clock hour show, didn't you?
I did.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
On that chat.
I had to go get some fuel.
Yeah. You know what? Can we podcast that today so people can go back and listen to that?
You know what? They did very well. They did very well. It was not so choppy. And I think I might just throw it up today.
All right. You want to give a quick answer to that?
I'll listen to that.
Thank you.
I'll give a quick answer. First of all, you made a comment that I like to, if it's okay and due respect, correct the terms. Are you there?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, in Acts 15, nowhere is a saying that you have to do these things to be a Christian. You know, people think, oh, well, that's what a Christian is supposed to do. Well, where in the Word, where does it say there that that's the requirements for Christians?
Where does it say in the Word that, you know, you got to be a Christian at all?
Exactly. So the question is, you went a little deeper there.
Okay, great. Now we're in trouble.
Yeah, I want to be a Cretan. Yes, that's what I want to be.
Let me answer this to my brother, who he asked a very good question. That's why we spent the whole hour. Let me repeat verse 16 of chapter, verse 1 and verse 5 of chapter 15. It says, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So what we have here, brother, is that Alan, right? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan.
We have a problem. The Pharisees are trying to bring extra requirements to the new believers coming in that are not necessary for somebody who just came in the door. By the way, there are three different types of circumcision, three different methods of circumcision for three different stages in your life. And then you have Paul go up to Jerusalem to argue about the issue. But then in verse 5, it tells you who are the troublemakers, and this is the key. But some of the Pharisees who believed in Yeshua rose up, saying it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. But wait a minute, that is true. You have to, circumcision is still valid, but not before circumcision of the heart. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says to keep the Torah of Moses. But of course we have to keep the Torah of Moses. That's not the problem. The problem is, when do you do it? Do you do it so you can belong to a system of religion? Or do you do it because you want to serve Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength? And how is it that you are expecting somebody to come in and start keeping the most stringent of commandments where they've never walked in any of the most basic ones? It's like you, like right now I'm training again. You know, I'm trying to get back in training and get back in shape and stuff. I am so sore. I have parts of my body that I forgot I had that are sore. So I used to do those very easy 15 years ago, 12 years ago, 10 years ago. But because I have a hip condition and I can't do those, I have to pace myself, start with the most basic ones, and then continue to go to the most extreme ones. So when you start going to the congregation for the first time, you start learning the most basic ones. And then when you start reading the Bible, you start reading the Torah, and you recognize that God says, you should not do this, you should not do this, you should do this, you should do that. And you recognize, oh my Lord, I'm doing that, huh? And that's not pleasing unto the Lord. That is called circumcision of the heart. And that's why the Torah cycle is studied every year. Because that's how we mature and we grow in the kingdom, by practicing. See, in the Christian life and the Christian belief, you have to believe to be a Christian. In the Hebrew thinking, you have to walk in the commandment to reveal to whom you believe in. Did you get that?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Your action is your proof.
About exactly. So yeah. I don't tell you I believe. I want to follow the commandments to my life will become a living tabernacle and a living testimony of who, in which Elohim do I believe in.
Good. All right. Hopefully that was a good explanation for you, Alan. But you can go back and we'll podcast the first hour of the Shema AM show, which we don't usually do. So everybody, let your friends and family know there's yet another podcast out there for you. And if you want to sign up to receive the podcasts every day that we have them go out, they can be done and found at the HebrewNationRadio.com website.
Podcasts will be there for sure. You can also subscribe through iTunes. We've got the little button there if you go down the right side where you can hit the iTunes there. There's lots of different ways. You can put in your email address and we'll send you an email of all the podcasts every day.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Now, Rico, we were sort of going down a track here and we started to say, talk about why our Jewish brethren can't accept the Christian Jesus. And so I don't know if we want to get back onto that for just a minute or not. Or actually, we've got a phone call, so I think we're going to take that call first. Is that right, Devorah? We have a call?
We do. We have, okay. Let's we have Lynn in Montana, I think she's.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you? I can barely hear you.
I'll talk louder, maybe.
Oh, if I talk louder, I'll be able to hear you.
Oh, you're doing good. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling from Montana, and this is a question I have had for just a really long time. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Just an explanation on that would be fantastic.
I got to tell you, I don't know.
Well, that's a good one to look up, I guess, then.
I got to tell you, this is something that I have a friend of mine who's I don't know. Who wasn't Orthodox, and he actually teaches me Hebrew. And this is, I'm actually waiting for him on Monday to ask him that very same question. Because that particular teaching has to do with something very cultural, actually biblical, but we don't quite understand it on the Western mindset. So I would much rather tell you that I don't know and try to follow the information and give you a good answer than me give you a stupid answer and be wrong. So I hope you don't mind, but if I don't know, I don't know.
Okay. Well, Lynn, let's turn her back up so I can talk to her for a second. Sorry. All right, Lynn, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, so, I think that's a real sign of maturity for all of us, is if we don't know, don't try to make something up, but we'll find out and get back to you on that. Do you want to send me an email at don@t2tn.com, Lynn, and then I can make sure that when we've researched that out, we get you the right answer on it.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Sorry, I don't have the answer.
Shalom.
Thanks for calling, Lynn.
All right, everybody. We've got Rico Cortez with us. The number here, 503-316-1220. We'd love to have you with us wherever you are. Now, back to this question about why it is so difficult for Judah to, in fact, it's impossible for our Jewish brothers to accept the Christian Jesus.
I think the only Jews that would accept the Christian Jesus are the ones who are secular, who never really study the Bible. Mm. But any Orthodox who studies the Torah and who understands, they will never accept the Jewish Jesus. The Christian Jesus. And people say, well, why do you keep saying Christian Jesus versus the Hebrew one? Because there is a big difference. The Christian Jesus doesn't require you, the Christian Jesus doesn't require you to keep Sabbath and the feast and eat kosher or follow the Torah, when the Torah and the words of our Hebrew Messiah, Yeshua, does. And by the way, first terms, what are the terms? Let me quote you. If we understand terms, then we can come to an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what is sin? According to the definition in the Bible, 1 John 3:4 gives you the best definition of sin. He says, whoever commits sin transgresses also the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. The word law there is nomos, that means law. So sin is breaking the commandments, right? So let's go to chapter 5 of John, verse 1, this verse 2 through 5. It says, that's the definition of love, right? It says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. You see that?
Yeah.
So the Bible is telling you that to love the Lord is to keep his commandments. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So we got a problem already. A Christian will go to a Jew and says, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. And the Jew will look at you and says, okay, you say you love the Lord. Today is Tuesday. We'll wait until Thursday and Friday. When Friday comes around, noon, 3, 6, the Christian keeps doing everything his own merry way, while the Jewish guy is trying to get ready for the Sabbath. The Jewish guy says he doesn't really love the Lord the way the Bible says you're supposed to love the Lord, because if you love the Lord, you keep his commandments, and his commandments is the Torah, and the Torah says to keep the Sabbath.
Well, yeah, we do have a caller on the line, but, I want people to make sure that you understand we don't say these things in order to vex you or to make you upset or whatever. We're saying you want to love our Father, then do it how he says. That's
exactly
all.
Exactly. Yes,
so,
sir.
Let's go.
By the way,
let's
we're not talking about redemption or salvation here. We're talking about obedience.
That's it. Okay, we've got a caller on. Who's here?
Yeah,
good morning,
Hebrew Nation.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hey, JD, go ahead.
Yeah.
I would just wanted to give a little bit about your question on our Jewish brothers.
Uh-huh.
I think after compare and contrast between here and there and living in the Western world, we've gotten in the habit of making excuses and trying to justify our actions, and people living in the new or out of the Old Testament, they know their law. It's very strict. It's numbered. They know their law, and they're used to saying no, and they just said no.
Well, I don't know if you heard the Shema AM hour or not. Again, that's a good one. We'll make sure that we get that put back up. And we've got to go to break here also. But what Rico said, I thought was a very good explanation about that, and we can repeat that just after the break. And he said,
we make excuses why we can stay in the world instead of being a separate, set apart people. And I thought, wow, Rico, you hit that one on the head. So we'll go with a little bit more of that after the break. You're listening to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes, everybody.
Shalom.
Welcome back, everybody. Do you have the soundtrack to that?
Mm-hmm.
To the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. You should sell that. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just me that has part of
it.
Yeah,
so. Yeah. Okay. Well, so anyway, we are here at the morning show. We were talking with Rico Cortez, and we were talking about a lot of different things. One of the things that JD called in about just before the program went to a break there was and Rico had given a really great answer during the first hour. He said he was actually listening during the first Shema hour, but he didn't hear that part. So
right,
you
he's working in our cafe, so it's been in the cooler or something.
Yeah, definitely. We have a remind everybody about Hebrew's Cafe, mm-hmm. and it's a kosher and organic cafe, coffee, gourmet coffee, and he was just pulling a new roast beef, kosher roast beef out this morning. Oh boy, I tell you, it was smelling good. We have fresh baked goods going on over there and all kinds of things.
Oh, so. And a 15-year-old that can make soup like nobody's business.
Yeah, that pepper steak soup that's over there.
I don't do pepper.
So,
I don't like
pepper.
Oh,
that was good.
But, oh my gosh, that was just a dive bar.
Yeah. So anyway, back to it. Rico, you want to go ahead and follow up on why it's so difficult sometimes for New Testament believers to change, I guess, is kind of where we're headed with that.
I guess it's just tradition. It's just a tradition. I'm listening to your commercials, and I'm listening to, oh my God, I forgot his name now.
Richard Reeves?
Richard Reeves. I love his stuff. Yeah. And I don't know. Honestly, I listen to his stuff, and he'd give you a lot of archaeological, historical, biblical. Listen, it takes... Brad Scott made a comment, and I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it's so true. He says, it will take a lot more evidence to prove to you the truth than it is for people to believe a lie.
That's great.
And you know, that statement's really stuck with me because it's so true. I could give you all the historical, archaeological, biblical, and still people choose to examine their own ways and do whatever they want. When Yahweh is looking for servants who are willing to follow him, and it will take, do you know the amount of studies that I do a day? The people don't realize how much I study a day. And I'm not saying this to brag, because all the other teachers, I'm sure they do too. I spend a minimum of between 5 or 6 hours a day studying. Depends on what time of the day of the week in order for me to get ready for the Torah portion. For every Torah portion, I think I spend an equivalent to maybe 12, 15 hours for every Torah portion. And the more I study, the more I recognize how much I don't know. And the more I recognize how incredible the love of my Elohim is and how much he loves us. So when I recognize his commandments and I understand what he says, why would I not want to follow him and do whatever he says to the best of my ability until I continue to practice? So how can we be an example? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that your kids will respect you if you say, I believe in this, but you do completely the opposite? Of course not. And this is the reason why all the kids, they leave the church by the time they're 18. Because the preacher preaches against adultery, but they become an adulterer. They talk about homosexuality, but they become homosexuals. They talk about the things of the world, but they end up doing the things of the world. So, how can the Jewish people look at Christianity as an example when the history, again, I'm talking about history have shown through the Catholic Church and then the Protestant Church that Christianity have not very, the system of the religion of Christianity as a theology has not been very friendly to our people.
Yeah.
Well, so it's like they say, the Jew will look at us and say, oh, you say you love Jesus and that you love God, but why did you kill us? Why did you persecute us? Why did you put us at the stake in the Inquisitions? My family is a result of that. I mean, people don't realize the amount of information there is about the Sephardic Jews, the Spanish Jews, and the Inquisitions of Spain. People should do some research on that. Why would any Jew want to embrace this Jesus when, in fact, in the name of this Greek Jesus, people have been killing my people for 2,000 years? Now, that's historical base. And that's the truth. So now, the Father raises up a generation like ours, that we have people like myself and you and some other people who are actually descendants of Israel, who basically are trying to come back to the Torah and have the testimony of Yeshua. So now the Jewish people, let me experience to understand what I mean. I have a really good friend. We've been friends for almost 7 years now. And I met him. He was Orthodox. Now he's not. He's more of a Karaite now, okay? I don't agree with everything the Karaites do, but it's better than what he was doing before. He was very rude with me when I first met him, but I stuck with it, you know what I mean? Didn't tell him for 3 years that I believed in Yeshua because I was trying to establish a relationship. We would talk for hours about the Torah. First year I went to Israel, I was there for 60 days in Israel, 40 days in Jerusalem. And I spent almost every day at the place that he would work, asking questions, sitting there for 8 hours a day. Now we become great friends. He teaches me Hebrew every week and I study the Torah with him. He's really open. He recognized that the Torah is the authority, not the rabbis. And he's going back to the scripture. Now, he doesn't believe in Yeshua, but right now that's irrelevant. He just believes in the authority of Yahweh as his word first, which is a huge step to somebody who was raised Orthodox. You follow?
You bet.
So we study and he invited us to his house when I took my tour to Israel last fall, and we had Shabbat at his house. Now, you got to understand that he still lives in Jerusalem amongst the ultra-Orthodox. So when we walk up and we go, we sit at the table, he asked us, my wife, my son, and myself, and some friend, says, what is Shabbat for you? We begin to tell him about what Shabbat is for us. And then he has a bottle of wine. We bought him a bottle of wine for Shabbat. Some people don't drink wine. I drink wine. Don't send me to hell because it's not a sin to drink wine. It's only to get drunk. So he gives me the bottle of wine in front of his family, and he says, Rico, would you give me the honor to open my bottle of wine? What people don't realize is that's unheard of. To a Christian might be listening and says, well, what's the big deal? Open a bottle of wine. You don't realize that an Orthodox Jew on Shabbat does not give his bottle of wine to anybody unless they consider them covenant people and they consider them family, because to them and their religion that opens a bottle of wine, they don't consider the Gentiles clean. The whole bottle is defiled. They will not drink of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he gave me the bottle of wine to open it, it was the ultimate compliment that he could give me. And then he sat at the table and he told me and my wife and my kids, and he said, you and I, we are brothers. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are in covenant. And he knows I believe in Yeshua. Yeah. How can that happen? Because my testimony for the last 6 years have been of keeping the Torah. He's seen the tour groups that I take to Israel. He sits at my teachings in Israel when I'm there. And he knows that even though he don't believe in Yeshua, but he sees the fruit. And he says, we are in covenant. And now we talk about the New Testament. We study it together. He still doesn't believe in Yeshua. But you know what? If I tell him I need help with this idiom, would you help me? We dialogue. And that's what I'm talking about. And it's about a lifestyle. Torah is a lifestyle. It's not a religion, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity is a religion. Judaism is a religion. Torah is a lifestyle.
I want to make a clarification for folks, because once in a while I get an email that says, well, what are you always picking on Christians for? Why don't you talk about Buddhists and New Age people and Islam and all those things? Well, those are a given that those people don't have a chance. They're not involved with the Bible. We're trying to bring Israel back. You know, that's our job, is to regather Israel. Our job isn't to bring the stranger in, or the one that's not a part of the nation. So if you hear us emphasize to our New Testament brethren, it's because we know who they are and they don't. And so we're trying to welcome them home.
So. But we're not trying to judge them. We tell me that anything that we've said today that we're judging them. We are basically talking about the system of religion. Did you know 95% of Christians have no idea they're doing anything wrong?
Yeah.
So I'm not judging the person walking in the street, going to his church every Sunday, and they actually feel they're doing something wrong, right, because they don't know any better. Just like 99% of Jewish that go to a synagogue, they don't read the Torah half the time. They only read what the rabbis say. It's the same problem.
Yeah, and I'd like to challenge, I know we have Christian, pastors that listen in and sometimes get a little frustrated. I want to challenge you to get a hold of us and let me put you one-on-one with one of the teachers. I know you've studied years and years with, your Greek New Testaments and so on. And it's a challenge for you, and it's a pride issue, really, for you to say, man, have I really wasted so much time? No, you haven't wasted time. Everything that's happened has had purpose. Everything that you've learned will be used, but with a different perspective. So I challenge you to get out of your rut and to just say, all right, Father, if I'm missing something, open my eyes. And that's all you have to do, that one step of obedience, and the Bible will come to you in full living technicolor in a way you have never understood before. It's the beginning of this incredible adventure.
You know what amazes me in regards to that? I'm surprised that we haven't had any of this mainstream Christians challenging any of us yet. It's not like we want to go out there and debate people. I got better things to do than be debating people. There are a lot of people, but if I have to defend what I believe, I do at any moment. But I'm surprised that none of those big mega preachers have stood up and said, okay, guys, you think you know your stuff, whatever. Let me tell you something. Honestly, you put guys like Monty, Eddie, Bill, Brad, myself, and some of the other teachers like Tony Robinson and, Scott Dreyer and Taylor in the room debating with these guys. And over, the first thing that I will say is, teach me the gospel from Genesis 1:1. If you can do that, then we can continue the conversation.
Yeah,
and that sounds arrogant. Oh, my Lord, and I don't mean it like that. But John 1:1 gave us the commentary in Genesis 1:1. And if you go back to Genesis 1:1 and study the Torah, we would know the whole gospel makes sense.
Exactly.
And it sounds, people know me already. They know that I don't want to become across as arrogant. It's just my zeal to try to convey what Yahweh says. Why is it so hard to just obey what my king wants? I mean, he wants only to protect us and guide us and lead us and bless us. So keep the Sabbath because you love him. And keep the feast because you want to meet with him during the great feast to rehearse the weddings of the Lamb. And keep the commandments so that your life will be a living tabernacle of unity and reconciliation and dwelling of the presence of God. I don't know why is it so difficult to accept just the truth. Why? Because my friends are going to leave me? Well, I got news for you. When the great judgment throne happens, none of your pastors or your family members or either your husband or your wives are going to be there to stand up for you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But folks, the game's not over yet. Nothing's too far down the line. And I want to encourage you once again, no matter who you are, if you have questions and you're not getting it, whatever, hey, just let us know. There is not one teacher that I know, and I think I know probably most of the major ones. And, David Matthews will put his day away to just explain things. And we're not trying to convert you to anything. You've already got the blood of Yeshua, most of you, for your testimony. But what we want to do is bring you all the way into the family. Mm-hmm. And because that's our job, and Rico, you've got him on the line today. The number here is 503-316-1220. We're coming up on our end of the hour break. I want to remind you about Restoration Fellowship Friday night. That's Erev Shabbat. We meet at about 6 o'clock, start eating around 6:30. But it's a special night. We're going to do, we're not going to do Seder. It's a Passover or Pesach teaching about how you can do it in your home. And we want to encourage you to do that. If you have a small group or something that you're meeting together with, it's not complicated. There are just a few things that we are instructed to do. And we'll do some little reenactments and tell about the prophetic significance and all those things. But we want you to come and enjoy it with us. It's one of those national holidays that Yahweh says are his festivals, his set-apart days. So we're going to teach you about that, and we'll be right back after a long break here. 503-316 Hebrew Nation Radio Morning Show. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where we study the Hebrew roots of our faith, brought to you by Tree of Life Outlet in Lincoln City. Phone lines are open at 503-316-1220, or send your email to radio@t2tn.com. Well, good morning once again. You are with us here at the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, and we've had Rico Cortez on now for the third hour. Nobody has excuses about any questions they might have about where the Hebraic understanding of Scripture is coming from and where it's going, because you have had the opportunity and will continue to get it to call in at 503-316-1220. Man, the range of topics have been far and wide and deep, and sometimes we go back over the same ones again because different people are listening at different times, but that's the nature of radio, and especially live radio. So right. We are live this morning and invite you to continue calling in. Again, we've got a line open, 503-316-1220. You can email radio@t2tn.com, and I'll make sure that I check that because I haven't done that yet today. And we have Rico Cortez. Rico, welcome back again. And John Math, do you have him, Rico, turned up?
Nice to be back.
Oh, there you are. Okay, good. David Matthews wanted me to make sure to tell you he's looking forward to getting with you. I guess you're going to be in his area around May 7th or something around.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him. I love that man. He's a great guy.
That's what he keeps saying. I love that, Rico. I just love that, Rico.
He's a good man. He's a good teacher, too.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely. And we're privileged to have him on here every day. We have, who's on with us, Deborah?
Guess what? We have
Bradley.
Oh, Bradley. Welcome
He's back. From the
land of the, welcome back to the land of living here.
Right.
Well, thank you.
Sounds good even.
Got to thinking today, this is pretty close to my 1 year anniversary of leaving the station and running the board.
Mm-hmm.
Just for kicks and grins, I just thought I'd mention that.
Okay, well, thank you. Did you want me to pat you on the back or anything?
I do. That would be fine.
All right. Thank you, Bradley.
But not now.
All right.
The question that I have, how legalistic does one need to be with the week of non-leavened, throwing away yeast and throwing away foods that have yeast in them? I'm thinking of my brothers and sisters that have food that's dehydrated for 25 years that has yeast in it. Are they expected to throw it all away?
Good question. We'll talk about some of that. In fact, one of the questions that was called in during the break was, you know, the United States, how many laws does the United States have as compared to the 613 commandments that our nation has, or laws that our nation has?
She said Rico was talking about in the first hour, and she wanted him to repeat it.
Thanks, Bradley. We'll talk about it.
But yeah, she wanted to know how many laws there are in the USA compared to Israel's 613 commandments.
Oh, it was like several hundred thousand, so.
No, there's like millions.
Millions of laws, yeah.
There's millions of laws. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, the reason they bring that up, Rico, is because people say, how can you possibly follow every law? Well, you know, we do it in our secular society every day far more than obeying, mm-hmm. obedience to the Bible. So,
and we're constantly.
Well, the thing about it is, it's like, this is, you know, and I get this same question from a lot of pastors when I talk to some pastors that, well, it is impossible to keep the whole law. And when they tell me that, I know they don't read it. Hmm. Because when you study the Torah, you recognize that not all the 613 commandments are for you. I mean, there's over 200 commandments just for the temple alone. Do we have a temple? No. So those commandments don't apply to you. We have commandments for a king of Israel. Am I a king of Israel? No. Do we have a commandments for the priests? I'm a descendant of Levi, but can I officiate? No, there's no temple, so I can't apply some of those. I'm not a woman, so therefore the commandments for women don't apply to me. I mean, it's logical. Listen, Donald Trump, he's got to abide by a lot more laws than we do. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's got more businesses, he's got more investments, he's got more responsibility than we do.
Mm.
So therefore, we don't have the same responsibility. A lawyer has to do more things than we do. A business or owner has to keep more laws than we do. Do I have to pay business tax if I don't have a business? No. So the Constitution of Israel, which is the Torah, is a Bill of Rights and the Bill of Independence. In other words, it teaches you how to deal with concepts of judgment, concepts of food, how to deal with the agriculture, how to deal with your neighbor, how to deal with the judges, how to deal with the land. We are a country. The Torah is our everything. You know, it teaches us how to live daily life. Only 613, and people are complaining. Yeah. Versus millions in this country, and some people still call themselves free. So how can that be?
Well, we can debate that we're free because we know we're not in this country, but that's okay.
Well, but would you agree, though? I agree with you, okay? Because we know better. But 90% of the population in America, they feel that they're the freest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you keep the commandments of the country.
Good point.
You're free if you keep it. In other words, in obeying the commandments of this land, I could go about anywhere I want. I don't have to run from the law. I could travel anywhere safely in America. I could grab a plane. I could get in my car and go. I don't have to account to anybody, right? If I obey the commandments that I'm supposed to. But if I kill somebody over there, or if I steal willfully over there, or if I don't pay my taxes over there, then I have to run for my life. Then I'm no longer free because now the law wants me. Wow, we can do that in America, but we can't follow the commandments of God. But then we want the Jewish people to really respect us when we don't even know how to keep the most basic commandments in the Torah.
Pretty incredible. Hey, let's switch subjects until we get somebody to call in with some doctrine, theology, Hebraic understanding stuff. Let's talk about what's going on in the Middle East. Unless you don't want to talk about end times but just probably a change of pace for you a little bit. You see all the turmoil in the Middle East and all the rebellion that's going on. And do you feel that this is a really big step towards the regathering of Israel, what's going on right now?
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. We are living in the most exciting times in human history. I cannot believe in my human mind, in my limited mind, Yahweh has given me the privilege to be a teacher of his heart, of his Torah in this times in history. Because right now we see what is happening in the Middle East, that the chaos, if their religion is so great and their government is so great and it's such a religion of peace, then how come they're having so much chaos? And the thing about it is, this is exactly, look, I'll be surprised. And again, I'm not setting dates because I don't do that. I don't even call myself a prophecy teacher because people get in trouble when they do that. But yeah, I would not surprise if by the end of the year, sometime next year, sometime the year after, in the next few years, whatever happens, okay, I got to keep it general, that the attention is going to come to Israel. It wouldn't surprise me when things settle down a little bit in Syria and in Lebanon and those things, and people settle down a little bit, then they put their attention to Israel. And this should be a wake-up call for us. For us. This is what bothers me in the Hebrew Roots movement. While everybody's arguing among the Hebrew Roots movement, trying to be so self-righteous about every little point, the Muslim world is getting ready to take over.
What is happening right now is their way of revolutionizing their the whole system of their religion, to call for their Messiah, to call for their leader that could only bring unity. If at any moment one guy raises up in the Middle East and everybody starts listening to him and says, now we have peace, and this guy brings unity to the Arab nations, which is practically impossible based on the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Sufis and things like that. But if one guy brings them together, then you know that that's their anti-Messiah. So instead of us arguing about every little stupid detail that creating so much division, we should be basically promoting the Torah and teaching the Torah and focusing on the message that is going to bring reconciliation to the kingdom again.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good.
I think we should be, listen, and I can't talk to Christians on this because my Christian brothers have no idea what I'm talking about right now, because they don't study the Torah in this context. We know better. We have experienced the most incredible revelation of the Torah of Yahweh in these last days. What are we doing with it? We arguing about the name. We arguing about the calendar. We arguing about this. We're shooting our Jewish brother. We're doing this. We are all the stupid arguments that are dividing the kingdom. In fact, we should be united somehow, some way. If we can all come to an agreement to focus on certain topics that can bring unity to this, mm-hmm. so that we can truly become the testimony and the light unto the world that the world's looking for, the whole Christian, you know, I've been looking on TV for mega preachers, you know, the mega teachers in the Christian sector to teach about prophecy, to talk about Islam, what is happening right now. I can't find any. The only one that comes the closest is Perry Stone, and I don't agree with everything he says, but he's the only one who's really talking about certain things. But what is he talking about? From a Hebrew perspective. So it's like, how come mainstream Christianity is so oblivious to this? We have the answers, and we're messing it up. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. That just, if you only knew how frustrated I get. We arguing amongst each other, and the whole world is desperately looking for answers, and Yahweh's given us those answers. And we're not good for anything right now. We need to repent. We need to return, so we can understand where we're at in prophecy. You know, I always make a joke, and I kind of mean it in a way. Sometimes I wish the Great Tribulation would start today, so all this nonsense will end.
Me too. Hey, Rico, we skipped over a question that a caller put in, and it was about the unleavened bread. It's a really interesting question because it seems like it's legalistic, but on the other hand, it's representative of the sin in our lives. So you want to talk about unleavened bread and to what degree? And to me, it's a personal judgment, why don't you talk about unleavened bread for just a moment?
Unleavened bread has a lot of meaning in Scripture. We are commanded to remove the unleavened out of our houses, but you know it's practically impossible to remove it all because it can be anywhere. The whole premise of that hint is to show, to do something physical that will reveal the condition of your heart. See, people miss the whole thing. The whole idea about the removing of the leaven from your houses is to teach you that it don't matter how hard you seek in your house. In other words, doing that commandment, the whole house represents your body. And as you're searching out the whole house for leaven, and I remember when we've been doing it the last, you know, when we do it, there are times, and even in the supplements, we find gelatin, you know, and that it comes from pork. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you? That tells you that no matter how much you think you're self-righteous and holy, there's always something hidden within your heart and within your body that it reveals the sin in your life. And that's why we need redemption. The whole premise of unleavened bread was to teach us that we do need redemption. Even when you think you're holy, when you think you're perfect, when you think you're doing everything right, there's always something hidden, a little bit of pride, a little bit of sin that is hidden in your life that needs to come to the surface. So the whole thing about the leaven thing is to teach the children of Israel how to search out their hearts in their lives and how to search out that leaven that is keeping them from a deeper relationship. So how do Yahweh does it? He teaches us through the physical so we can learn through the spiritual.
Yeah. You know, so Bradley, the answer to the question is, that's between you and Yahweh or your friends and Yahweh. I want to get everything out of me that's representative of that. You know, we've got freeze-dried food stored up in the other room. Of course, we don't have a house. We have just a storeroom right now, so it's easy to kind of get everything out of there. But, you know, we've also been told to prepare and to get ready for things. So do what you're supposed to do to the best of your ability. And don't worry. Don't sweat all the things, you know. And just be obedient to what Yahweh is telling you. We'll be right back with more of the Hebrew Nation Morning Show.
Our world has changed in an instant, as we've seen in Japan and here at home. The attention of the nation is focusing more intensely on families storing emergency food and water in their homes, and why. Potential disruption in the food supply can cause a number of factors such as unemployment, economic downturn, erratic weather, droughts, earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, contamination of food supplies, and transportation disruptions. Building your food reserves for your family is one of the most prudent actions that you can take. Email Cindy at t2tn.com or call Eunice at 503-316-1220.
And welcome back, everybody. You've got the Hebrew Nation radio station here, and this is the morning show. My name is Don Wyatt, and Devorah is in. We have brother. Can we call him we'll call him like Levi, okay? Levi Rico Cortez with us.
Brother Levi.
Brother Levi Rico.
Yeah, yeah. Brother Levi okay. Rico.
Thank you, brother. By the way, of the removal, people say, well, how legalistic can we be? I mean, the removal of the leavened bread is the removal of the leaven in the house. God has given us a commandment. Now, you know, can we do it exactly the same way as it was done back in the first century? No. Because sometimes, half the time, you don't even know what really has leaven or pork or whatever now. You know, when you go through it, it's a great teaching tool for your children. You know, but we have to be careful not to call things that are biblical legalistic. And maybe the way the Orthodox are doing it become legalistic, but there's a big, big balance in that. I think we have to kind of search it out.
So we have a couple questions regarding that.
Go ahead. We've got, who do we have on first? Novella?
Novella was the first one.
Okay.
Go ahead and put her on the board here. Go ahead, Novella.
Thank you. Shalom to you all.
Shalom.
On the subject of the removal of the leaven from our houses, we go nuts every year trying to make sure everything was gone. And I was reading last week, Shemot 12, and the whole scenario of the removal of the unleavened. The leaven, rather. And is the subject not bread rather than leaven, removing the unleavened bread from the house rather than the leaven itself? Because it seems the whole passage is talking about bread, the feast of unleavened bread, and all of the references are to bread. Could you elaborate more on that, please?
Great question, Novella. Thanks for calling.
And I'll hang up.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay, what happens is back then, remember that back then, one of the things that had yeast was probably wine, some drinks, and also bread. And bread was a stipend of the everyday life and the diet over there. The word for leaven can also mean sha'ar in Hebrew, or shar, which means swelling or fermentation. This is the whole teaching behind this in regards to the Brit Hadashah, the Renewed Covenant. Yeshua is talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. They're connecting the man-made traditions versus leaven, means pride, something added, something that changes what it looks like. So, yes, it talks about bread because in reality the bread was the main dish they had every day. But now when you eat, the diet has changed so tremendously. They put leaven on everything. So understand the principle still stands. It's just that back then, the main ingredient in leaven back then was leaven made of rice. So it's one of the things that we have to remember.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take D.
Yeah, D's our second caller.
D, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
I forgot that. Where are you calling from, D? Salem?
From Kaiser.
Oh, good. Okay, well, I forgot to ask Novella. I always like to know if we're... Mm-hmm. Where we're talking local or long distance.
She didn't sound too local.
Yeah, I think Novella was a little further
far
away.
Off, yeah.
Okay, well, go for your shot. Take a good one.
Well, my question is, and I'm just new to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So if we remove the leaven from our home, for what length of time? And can we just give it to a friend, and then when this time is over, bring it back into the home? Because sometimes there's a lot of money involved in what we have.
Mm. Don't the Jews sell it to their neighbor for a dollar or something and buy it back after Pesach?
Yeah, go ahead. This should be a fun answer.
That's what the Orthodox do. And they have ways to go around that.
I can't hear.
I got to be honest, I'm still searching that out myself because I'd rather throw it out. Like, I have dehydrated type foods now, but luckily for me, my bread basket, what I'm supposed to get for bread, didn't show up. It's not coming up until a few weeks. So it's like, what do I do? Well, in that case, I would have basically put it in storage before it got into the house. But once it gets into the house, it must come out. I don't know. This is, again, we are all searching and we're all trying to do the right thing. And we're zealous for the truth and we're zealous for what the Bible says. And we want to do what he wants us to do. But in fact, the fact of the matter is that it's practically impossible to get all the leaven out of your house anyway.
Listen,
because everything that is in there that we don't even know. Listen, 1 year I went through everything in my house, okay? And then about a month later, I'm taking an Advil. I was drinking Advil, and I had the gel caps. When I read the instructions, it's got gelatin. And I'm going like, oh, man. You see? So I started laughing, and I started saying, oh, Lord, how much you teach us of the fact that sometimes when we think we do everything right, there's still something hidden. And if there's still something in plain sight, how much more in my heart that I feel that I'm doing everything right, and there's always something there that is keeping me becoming more arrogant and becoming like leaven rising up on myself. That's a very important spiritual application to this.
When Bradley called in earlier and he was talking about, he used the word legalistic. This is where I would say you need to not stress, okay? Do everything you can reasonably do. It says take it outside your house. It doesn't, you know, say burn it all or do whatever. Take it outside your house. Go put it in a storage bin or take it to your neighbor or do whatever mm-hmm. whatever is on your heart to do.
That's what I was thinking. But
what I don't want you to do is to think that somehow your salvation is tied to this, okay? This is just about being as obedient as you possibly can. That's all. And so,
see, the word there says the commandment says unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with you, neither shall be leaven seen with you in all your quarters. When you look at the word quarters there, it means landmark, property, okay, border, enclosed, territory. So I guess, you know, what I don't like the rabbis, what they do is they sell the leaven to a Gentile, and then they buy it back. That's like saying, I'm going to sell my sin to you, and I'm going to get it back.
Okay, Rico, I've got one for you. We know we've got the Hebrews Cafe, and we serve Gentiles. And if you say, not on all your land, then is that my land? Do we control that as a ministry? I mean, do we shut down for a week? I mean, that's not in Scripture either. So, you know, I think that until we are back in the kingdom, until we're back with Israel, until the Messiah is here and telling us exactly how to do these things. I'm not looking for an excuse, by the way. I want to do what's right. But what do you think that a restaurant should do?
Well, you're the owner. You know Scripture. What do you think?
That's not my house. It's not my house either, though.
I mean, let's face it. Would that be a good opportunity for you to tell the Gentiles or the Christian people that come in why you're not serving certain breads that week?
Well, since we sell soups and sandwiches, it's pretty much might as well shut down.
Mm. Well, you know, but no. I'll tell you what, let me ask you this. What would be greater to Yahweh, keeping the commandment or maybe sending the wrong message to somebody who comes in and they really want to know, but at the same token, it's unleavened bread, but we're going to give you the piece of bread anyway. Now, but why don't you come up with a type of, there are some rice wraps that don't have any leaven.
Mm-hmm.
They have some different types of wraps, don't have any leaven whatsoever. You can still do the sandwiches, but do wraps instead of sandwiches.
Yeah, we could do burritos that week or something, I guess, with no pork fat in the burritos or something. I don't know.
You know, I mean, you see, what happens is, it's not so much that we come so legalistic to think, oh, we got to go. It's that
that we look for a way to say, okay, Lord, I want to please you by any means necessary. And then what it is when somebody comes in, they say, I want my sandwich. I said, we don't have the sandwich. We're not having the bread because we keep the unleavened bread. And go, what is that? And then you start, it opens the way for conversation. But we have another wrap. We have another option and things like that. You'd be surprised how the Lord opens in that. You know, I mean, you never know. But again, I don't have a business like that, so it's difficult for me.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
So I can't really speak on your behalf.
I understand. Do you still learn? Is she gone now?
Yeah, she's gone.
All right. Well, that leaves our lines open at 503-316-1220.
Yeah, and whoever just called, call on back.
Whoever just called, because you missed that light again.
Huh? I hope you bring me back now.
Oh, no, Ed, you're good with us. We don't care about any controversy, pretty much. We thrive on it. Come on, Rico.
I know. Listen, you know, I really want to thank you both for giving me the privilege to be here and to do this. I really would like to do this more. I think it's important that we spend the time with the people and training them. And I want the audience to understand that, you know, we just want the best for you. We're not trying to judge you to make you feel, you know, we're not trying to judge you. We're just trying to make you aware of the truth without compromise. And, you know, and if I come off in a way that sometimes I'm a little bit too zealous, that's just my heart. You got to understand that much is forgiven. You know what I mean? And yeah. I've been forgiven a lot in my life, and I don't want to mess it up once I know.
Exactly.
And we are all on a different journey. We are all on different steps in our walk. And some of you that are starting out, just keep the feast. Don't, you know, you will do the best that you know how because you practice this. By next year, you'll get a better grounded on what you want to do and you'll be able to make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you that are starting out, just take one step at a time. Just keep the feast.
There you go. Okay, we've got two callers.
Well, we have Brewster first, who says that last year when they did Pesach, they were able to come up with a recipe from Scripture that was able to get them around the unleavened bread. So
yeah, well, we have some.
I wanted him to share that for sure.
Go ahead, Bruce. We've got about a minute and a half before the next break.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll just say real quick, if you remember the bit about the prophet and the widow and her son, and you know how she was just down to the last little bit, you know, and he, you know, blessed her, and all of a sudden, all kinds of flour and oil and all that. Well, we got to thinking, well, geez, you know, if somebody just took flour, oil, and water, and you know, a little bit of salt, you know, and then you know, like you did it real quick, so you didn't pull the yeast out of the air, you know, you could make like a tortilla kind of wrapper, like really quick before it even leavens at all. And my sister and I, we figured out how to do this, where we were making them quite frequently, and we didn't have to, you know, like deal with having to go buy special bread or anything. We just made it right there with flour, water, oil, and, you know, you just got to get the mix right.
Well, that's good, Bruce. We'll
expect, have to come show us.
We'll expect you to come volunteer.
We'll
expect you to come down and volunteer at the restaurant for at least a week next week.
There you go. There you starting go. Monday.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there Saturday. I mean, Sunday anyway. So.
Yeah, awesome. First day, good.
All right. Thanks,
all
Chris.
Right. Now, bye-bye. Can our other caller hold through the break? Do you know?
It's just a question. Maybe we can just address the question after the break.
Well, we have, you know, we got to get out now.
We don't. We got another minute, dude.
Oh. We do. Okay, let's do it.
All right. Jude, you're on, girlfriend, go.
Okay, I'll talk real fast. First of all, I was surprised to realize I need to get my sauerkraut out of the house. It's fermented. Dude, I didn't know that. The other question for Rico is you were talking about with Islam gathering its strength, you were talking about topics that we should be talking about that make for unity, and I wish you would just address some of those topics and, you know, talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Kid. All right, we can do that after the break, I guess.
No, we got about a minute, Rico, if you want to start.
We're down to...
39. It's 39. What? No,
yeah,
I was wrong.
It's 39, so we got a minute 39. And a half.
Okay.
I looked at the wrong clock.
Are you
sure? That's
you
all.
Both of you
he was
right
thinking
now?
We were going at it at 57 after or something.
Yeah. So good.
Well, hey, it's listen, live radio at its best. Come on.
For example, the tabernacle. Aren't we supposed to be a living tabernacle? How come we don't know the way to approach the Creator in a manner that is respectful? How come we don't know how to present ourselves as a living sacrifice like Paul told us to? The feast. What is the prophetic message behind the feast that tells us the God's timetable for redemption? The temple service. You know, how come we don't know how to worship? You know, you go to certain places and you listen to them worship and they're just going at it like the way they want to do it when God has prescribed a manner and a way of how to do it according to the temple service. I think there are things that could edify us, but we are looking for the next quick answer. And we live in a very quick fix society. We got a 7-Eleven society, quick, 24 hours a day, something quick. But anything that takes work, we don't want to examine it. Mm-hmm. I find it really peculiar that we believe Yeshua is our high priest right now, and we don't know anything about the temple. We don't know anything about the high priestly work that Yeshua is doing for us in the heavenly tabernacle. And I think that we need to go back to the first century and encourage each other, help to feed each other and support each other. And we're not doing that. What are we doing? We are doing exactly what the children of Israel were doing in the wilderness, arguing, bringing forth wrong judgment, you know, bickering about everything. And now we're going to the same problem as Korah, that Korah wanted to challenge the authority of Moses. Well, guess what? That's what people are doing right now, challenging each other's authorities and who called who. You know what? If you follow Torah and Yahweh called you, he'll provide for everything. No. He'll open doors for you, and he'll make the whole world hear you because he called you to do it. You don't have to push your way into anywhere. Right. And I think we're not addressing any of that.
We'll be back in about 3 minutes, everybody. Hebrew Nation Morning Show, 503-316-1220, open lines. Your morning show. We're having fun with our brother Rico, and the number here, we have open lines, right? 503-316-1220. I do have some questions off the emails here. Mm-hmm. One of them, this one's from Leota, and she says, we have a friend who attended Passover in the past, but this year he says he can't come because he's not circumcised. Is he correct in not coming? He's not physically circumcised. So what's he going to do? Not attend the festival ever? And to go along with that one, how is Passover mentioned in Scripture for future? Will it be kept in the future? So there's two questions, Rico.
The book of Ezekiel tells us that we will keep Passover in the kingdom.
Okay.
And it tells you in Ezekiel, give me 1 second.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. Who's on the
phone? Ezekiel 43. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 44, verse 7 says, verse 6. Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says Yahweh Elohim, O house of Israel, let us save no more all of your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to my sanctuary to defile it, my house, and when you offer my food, the fat and the blood, and they broke my covenant because of all the abominations, says this. Verse 9, thus says Yahweh Elohim, no foreigner uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. So, circumcision is a commandment and is forever. And yes, there is a commandment that says you have to be circumcised. And this is a point of controversy. Because we also have the children that, and this is a little controversial, because when the children of Israel were in the dispersion in Egypt, they kept the Passover the first and the second year. The year they were in Egypt and the second year when they were in the wilderness, when they rededicated the tabernacle. But then after that, it doesn't hear anything about them keeping the Passover the whole time they were in the wilderness. Now, I believe they did, because they came in into the land on Passover, and they kept Passover there, and they got circumcised in the land. Now, this is a very touchy subject, because what does circumcision represent? Covenant. I believe that the Bible is forever and it's true. I have a problem with inviting Christian brothers to partake of the Passover, and then they go have Easter a week later. I believe that we should be circumcised. And this is a little subject. This is where I'm at today. You know?
That this moving is where target, I'm at today. Yeah. Moving target belief. We got it.
And we do have another caller.
Well, okay, go ahead.
You wanted to... Okay. We have Lynn in Montana. She wanted to get in there with another question.
Lynn.
Hi. Hey, Rico. First off, thanks for not being so critical of other denominations and just teaching the truth. That is so welcoming. And I have a question. Last year was the first year that I observed the Passover. And this year, I'm going to have Passover here at my house for some sisters that we're all single moms. And none of us have ever done the Passover before, and a little bit overwhelmed as far as all what to do. Last year it was very Jewish, what I seen, and I don't want to do it Jewish. I really just want to do, and our heart is, to do what the scriptures say to do. So if you could give us some hints on what to do, and do we have to have anyone, because we're a bunch of ladies keeping the word, and I will hang up and listen.
Thanks.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't want to, let me take one part of the question first. By the way, I'm glad that you're enjoying the teachings. I don't think there's anything wrong with following the Haggadah, the Jewish Haggadah. I mean, except for a few articles there that I don't follow, because it's a covenantal meal. Those things were established after they came out. You know who established those things? Ezra, Nehemiah, and Malachi. They were part of the Great Assembly when they came out of Babylon, and they did it as a teaching tool to teach the children of Israel about their redemption, because they were not in the temple. Now, yes, I know that some things have crept in that are not necessarily biblical. Now, we can't really keep the same Passover in Egypt as much as we want, because you have to offer the lamb exactly the same way that it was done. You can't just get a lamb and slaughter on your door and put the blood on the doorpost. So when people tell me, I want to keep the Passover as I did in Egypt, I'm going, oh, you're going to grab a lamb and sacrifice it at the door? And you're going to put the blood on the doorpost and keep the door open all night long? Because that's the way it was done in Egypt. So obviously this is why the Seder, the Haggadah, came from. They couldn't do it quite exactly the same way. So it doesn't mean that you can't stay home and keep it. What it means is, how do we do it? How do we find the balance? Where's the teaching in the Passover? What does it really mean about Passover? If you don't want to follow the Jewish one and the Haggadah, you don't have to if you don't want to. It's okay. But, you know, there are also tools there that teaches us about the Messiah. For example, you take the three matzahs and you break the one in the middle, and then you hide part of it. Afikomen. And then you put a little white, you know, cloth or a pillow on top of it. The pillow represents a stone. You know, I mean, that and the matzah is got some stripes in it. It's got some holes in it. Unleavened, no sin, and it's got stripes and it's got holes in it. What does that represent? It represents the Messiah. So the Messiah is a tool. And the second part of your question is that the ladies, you know, if there's not an available man who can lead the Haggadah, you know what? Just get together with your girlfriends and just keep the commandments and do it. Do it the best of your ability. Just keep Passover, okay? Don't drive yourself crazy trying to figure everything out. If there's not a man who can lead it for you, then you go ahead and do it in your home, okay? Now, this is my advice to you, though. Make sure you tell your friends, your girlfriends are coming with you, that if they walk through that door that night, they are saying, I am in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. Not to go over there and keep Easter a week later, because this is not a fad. This is not the in thing. This is a very serious covenantal meal. And this is why Paul says, you cannot drink of the cup of demons and the cup of the Lord. And this is why people die, by the way, and they get sick, because they are mixing the holy and the profane. You cannot go over there and have Passover and then keep Easter. It's the equivalent of this.
Yeshua doesn't want you for a fair weather friend, for sure.
Exactly. So therefore, right, what happens is this. It's as if this is the equivalent of what people do, okay? They have Passover and then they have Easter. It's as if you marry, you come into a covenant, you come into your house, there's intimacy, then you go to work, and the moment you go to work, a week later, you go out of town, your wife is bringing another man into your threshold and sleeping with him in your bed after you came in covenant with your husband. That's serious stuff.
Now, did we get the other email answered? Because I know we kind of jumped into the callers because they kind of, you know, they're here.
We did both, yeah. We had circumcision and we had the... The other one, too. Yeah, we do both.
Okay, perfect. So we do have another caller for you, Rico. Her name's Donna. Dawn, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, Rico. Thank you so much for the teaching this morning. Would you repeat what text you found that in Ezekiel? I was looking it up and I couldn't find it on circumcision.
Yeah, Ezekiel 44.
Ezekiel 44?
Verse 6 through 10.
All right, thank you so much.
Well, that was easy. There you go, that was an easy one. Oh, yeah.
Well, remember that verse is talking about when you go into the sanctuary, not when you're taking Passover. You follow?
Mm. Sure.
So it's letting you know that in the kingdom, there will be circumcision. So what does that tell you? I'm trying to throw it out there so people can come to their own conclusion. If Yahweh gave a commandment in the time of Abraham about circumcision, the problem is people don't realize that in Judaism, you have Peria, Metiksa, and Hatafat Dambrit. You have three different types, three methods of circumcision for three different stages in your life. If you are circumcised already, then they do Hatafat Dambrit, which basically means a little incision on the member to have blood because it represents covenant. Then you have Metiksa, which is basically when the baby is 8 days old, and they suck on the member of the baby with blood, with a wine. And basically that was done to back then for antiseptic purposes, but I don't agree with that at all. I don't care what age. And the last one is Periah. Periah is for an 8-day-old baby who has been circumcised or a Gentile who needs circumcision. Basically means the whole circumcision, you follow? The rabbis in the first century of the Pharisees, they're trying to impose any one of those three in order for them to be considered Israel. When in fact, Paul is trying to tell you, you don't get to believe in the creator of heaven and earth just because you have a physical circumcision, because circumcision of the heart is first. You do the circumcision after you get to know the integrity of your creator and you know relationship. It's just like when you meet somebody and then all of a sudden you say, I want to go to the next level with you. I want to marry you. You don't going to marry when you meet them. There's a time of getting to know and then betrothal and then marriage to seal that covenant. Same thing.
Good stuff. Good stuff. You know, it's the thing that people have to realize is it goes back to that first hour that you guys had on the Shema Hour, was that things are done incrementally. Nobody expects you to come into the understanding of Torah and do everything right the first time. And, you know, some of us have been in it for a lot of years, and we're still trying to learn how to do things right. Our Father is a gracious, loving Father, and we need to be that way to each other as well.
I agree. You know that you made a good point. I've been studying now for 14 years, okay? I'm starting on my 14th year. And the first 8 years, I was studying between 10 to 15 hours a day. Okay, and then I started teaching full-time, so I was only to about 6-7. Now I'm back to those old crazy hours again. I have learned more this year than I have my first 13 years. Hmm. And you're right. You know, things that I would have never considered doing back 11 years ago, I'm practicing them now. Why is that? Because I want to be more observant? Yeah. I want to follow the Bible the best that I know how. But it's taking me 10 years to understand why. Mm-hmm. And to practice and to put them in practice. And it becomes a little easier. It's like working out. You don't start with 250 pounds. You start with 5 pounds and you build yourself up until you learn how to walk in that commandment. And it's no longer going to be, you know, people, they come to the Hebrew Roots movement. They want to immediately start wearing sitit and wear the kippah and they wear the talit and they have no idea why. And I say, why are you wearing sitit if you don't even walk in the commandments? That's bringing a bad testimony. You know, so this is a journey, ladies and gentlemen, and this is a way that we learn. Now, don't use that excuse to say, I don't need to follow anything.
That's right.
You know, some people use that. Well, I'm just starting. Well, hello, you've been doing it for 13 years. You know, I mean, if you've been doing it more than 2 or 3 years, I think that you're getting ready to go to the next level. And by the way, these teachings that we do are geared to try to take you to the next level of your walk, not to judge you. To help you go to that next level. It's like a personal trainer. You know,
If you look out for personal trainers because you want to go to a next level, and you got to go through pain, you got to go through hard times. You got, even sometimes you want to quit and you get frustrated. Well, hello, I got my training in this morning and I was doing some abdominals that I used to do like nothing. Now I can barely get through them. You know how frustrating that was for me, a professional athlete for a long time, and I could do some of the basic stuff.
Yeah.
So I have to be happy with, I'm going to do 10 today, but I'm going to do 20 in 3 months. You follow?
All right, everybody. We're at the end of the program already. Thank you, Rico, for being with us. We'll look forward to having you on the Tour Teacher Roundtable one of these days, too. That'll be fun.
Great.
Yeah.
Got it.
All righty. And you guys call back in, email us, radio@t2tn.com. We want all your questions answered because we want you to be mature in our Father. Amen, everybody. Shalom.
God bless. Hey, I want to talk to you after we're done.
Yeah.
Today's program has been brought to you in part by Tree of Life Outlet at Lincoln City Factory Stores.